Hey everybody, Tony Danza here. This episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Last Rampage, the new true crime film starring Robert Patrick, Heather Graham, and Bruce Davison. In 1978, convicted murderer Gary Tyson, played by Robert Patrick, escaped from an Arizona prison with the help of his three sons. Over the following 2 weeks, Tyson and his gang roamed the Southwest, murdering six people before confronting police in a bloody shootout near the Mexican border. Next to the gunfight at the OK Corral, this is the most sensational crime story in Arizona history. Tyson's wife, played by Heather Graham, ooh la la, struggled with untiring determination to keep her family together, even in spite of her husband's murderous escape. Last Rampage isn't just a movie about prison break or murders, all right? It's a story about what it means to be a family. And I know something about family. I vacuumed for one for 7 seasons on ABC. And it asks the question, is your family first no matter what? Well, are they? Where's the loyalty? Find out when you watch Last Rampage. In theaters September 22nd and available for on-demand pre-order August 22nd. Find more on Twitter by following at Last Rampage Film or on Facebook.com/Last Rampage Film. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Ha ha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey everybody, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. How are you? Hope you've been having a great week. Thanks to everybody that came out to the Hollywood Improv last night. Had a great time at the Ontario Improv tonight. So that'll be fun. 8 p.m. Do you live in Ontario? Do you live in the Inland Empire? Well, come see me tonight. Ontario Improv, 8 p.m. Tickets still available. Or hit me up if you want to get on the guest list. I got a handful of comps left. Hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. And come see the show, 8 p.m. Ontario Improv. Of course, next week I'm going to be at the West Palm Beach Improv in Palm Beach, Florida, September 7th through the 9th. Very pumped about that. Get your tickets at adamraycomedy.com or improv.com. That's West Palm Beach Improv next Thursday through Saturday, September 7th through the 9th. But this weekend, no travel dates for Brad or I because he's getting married, baby. He's losing his single man privileges. He's now married. Well, he will be. Next week. Well, he's getting married Saturday. So next week he'll be married. All right. Brad will be at the Kansas City Improv September 14th through the 16th. That's his next tour date. So get your tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com and go see him live. Today's episode, holy shit. Man, one of the first episodes where we've drank and smoked in a long time. This is also an episode from that was previously recorded but was posted and then immediately lost. We did an episode with the one and only Michael McDonald from The Heat, from Spy, from Ghostbusters, from Mad TV, of course. Now he's directing Beast, directed all of Mike and Molly, directs Brooklyn Nine-Nine, show ran Melissa McCarthy's show Nobodies on TV Land, and we did an episode with him, and it was unbelievable. About a year and a half, 2 years ago. And somehow 2 months in, the episode got deleted and replaced by the Lisa Kudrow episode. And we lost it. And I recently just found it. So, of course, we have to repost it. Because I'm sure very few of you heard it. So, I can't wait to put this one back up. You're going to enjoy the hell out of it. Michael is just one of the most entertaining dudes on the planet. And his stories about growing up with a conservative family in Orange County, to getting Mad TV, to being in the Groundlings and teaching Melissa, and finding comedy, that's always so amazing to me, is how these comedy legends, and I definitely consider Mike a legend, he's just one of the funniest, quickest, sharpest dudes in the game, how they find this profession. So, hilarious episode, so fun, and we get fucked up. So, enjoy it. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, Brad at Funny Brad. I think Mike is at Michael McDonald. Oh, no, he's at McDonald Comedy on Twitter. Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. As I said, tour dates already going to be getting those out of the way up front. Website and merch. I know I said today, it's Monday. I'm positive. Monday, we're launching. Site, merch, it's happening. So get ready, get aboutlastnightpodcast.com ready in your queue, in your browser, because new merch, holy shit, new website coming at you Monday. Can't wait. Make sure, of course, you're subscribed on iTunes. Comment and rate on the iTunes page. Tell a friend, tell a coworker to get the podcast. And email us, aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. ALN moments, how you got into the pod, where you listen to it, why you love it. And again, we'll read some of those moments on air in the next few weeks and send you some free merch. New merch, too. A lot of great eps coming up. Holy shit, who did I just add to the schedule? Piat is coming back. We have Sarah Tiana, John Kite's coming back, Taylor Tomlinson, Asif Ali from Wrecked, and Jubal Flagg from Seattle. A big morning show up in Seattle, is now a comedian down here in L.A. Brent Morin coming back. Oh, shit. The creator of 5-4 Clothing Company coming back. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, making his debut. And then, of course, Zac Efron in the next month or two. So a lot of great guests. So make sure you're subscribed. All right, now that we've got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast, re-released, but probably new, because it was only up for a few months and then deleted. It's Michael McDonald.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to a dope podcast. Dinner or breakfast, Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Wait, you don't live around here, do you? You kind of do.
I live very close to here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Do you like this area?
Yeah.
You said that like you just got done burying a body around the corner.
I know. I realized that I'm. I think it's the pot that you just fed me. Just hit. I was like, well, nice. Wait a minute. Everything's. I got to think about everything.
Now, see, I'm glad that we give you pot after you walk in and see the midget. Because if you did like before, if we toked outside and then you walk in, see a midget, that could be like, holy crap, what is this weed?
Well, you know what's weird?
About your size is.
About coming across you as I walk into a room.
Okay.
I have worked with, I use the word little people. I hope that's not offensive to you.
How dare you, sir? We prefer midgets or pygmies.
I think you're the last little person that I've worked with. I've worked
really?
With everyone.
I thought you said that I will ever work with again.
No, I've worked with all of them because from Mad TV, one thing you've worked with is every little person,
right.
Every wrestler.
Right.
Every,
why those two species?
Because the people that ran Mad TV were... it was basically a modern day circus.
Yeah,
essentially, it was.
Hey, step right up. See the wrestler, the amazing wrestler. See Bobby Lee. He's Asian. That's weird. Yep. And we got midgets, too.
Yep.
I don't know why I sounded like a strip club DJ there. But
Bobby Lee may or may not shit his pants tonight. Tune in at 10 o'clock.
Bobby Lee, who qualifies also possibly as a midget.
He's like, yeah. He's pretty borderline.
He's midget adjacent.
I think they're playing at the Troubadour on Friday.
Yeah.
Midget adjacent?
Yeah, midget adjacent. Great band.
By the way, if he calls his next special that, ooh.
He'll know. And I just found this out recently. You and I grew up in the same town. I still live in this town of Fullerton, California.
Why do you still live there?
Because I don't like to pay for parking. And you don't.
Is it free parking there?
Everywhere. It's great. And there's a downtown Fullerton, which has 50 bars within three blocks of each other.
I've heard about it. Like, anytime anyone's come up to me about Fullerton, they're like, you know, downtown is really great. And yeah. when I was there in the late 1800s. No, but like when I was there, there was that downtown area was a McDonald's and a Salvation Army. There was nothing there. But actually, for the people listening that are interested in history and towns,
oh my god, Fullerton history.
Fullerton is kind of a quaint, old, very old town because it had a train station.
Yeah,
back when trains ran the world.
It the train station is still there, and that's where I live, right at that train station. They put up a bunch of condos there, and so I can walk to the downtown area.
Did you grow up there?
Yeah.
So what high school did you go to?
I went to Sunny Hills High School.
My parents, and I guess by proxy, belong to the Sunny Hills Racquet Club, but I went to Servite.
Oh, you went to Servite. That's the all boys high school.
All boys Catholic high school.
Whoa.
Football.
Yeah.
Football, man.
Yeah. And then you did all the dances with Rosary High School.
Rosary?
Yeah, that's the all-girls school. And, man,
they named the girls high school after the Rosary. Like, we want – that's like saying, like, we get it? Don't fuck these girls. They're Catholic.
Why didn't they call it Fuck These Girls High School?
Because we'll call it at the Rosary. Because if you just hear Rosary, like, I go to Rosary. Like, oh, fuck, I lost my boner. Like, no.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel bad. Oh.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's God. Yeah. God is going to be there.
But man, God was cock-blocking all those male guys.
I say, well played to the parents who named it that.
Sure.
Absolutely. Although, how often would the all-male and all-female schools come together? Like, never,
all the time,
right?
It's like a regular, no, it's like a regular high school. Yeah. You know, I mean, not in classes, but like come Friday, the whole weekend, it was as if you were in a, I didn't know the difference, really, wow, other than classes.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to a few functions at a Rosary, and good times. that's about all I can talk about.
Yeah, they get down. The religious kids get down, don't they?
I
invented dry humping on the dance floor, I feel like.
Maybe. I don't know.
And anal.
absolutely.
I'm still a virgin. I don't have my behymen anymore, let me tell you.
Is that your... Catholic,
that's my Catholic school girl.
I'm trying to character.
Well, he thought the expert
just got ass fired.
that was my motivation. Wow.
That's what lost him SNL last year.
Really?
He did that. He opened with that character.
Oh. I did, and Lorne was on board until I went, "Who just got ass fucked?"
Oh,
and then he was like, "Taron Killam already does that character."
Now, as a sketch and improv expert, what would you say to Brad based on that character? I think it was just too much of the voice, right? Not enough.
I don't know. As a sketch improv expert,
sure,
yes,
I would say it's really hard to tell unless the wig is on, and then you know if it's working or not. And he doesn't have his wig on.
Right. I don't have my wig on. I just have the beard, and that's not. Like, yeah.
Well, now tell me about your beard.
The beard was grown out for Movember, but then I just got lazy, But I do like it because now I disappoint pedophiles a lot more. Because now
when they tap you on the shoulder, you turn around like, ah, shit.
Yeah. Ah, I thought I was a kid.
Never mind.
Guess it's a midget with a beard.
Were you the funny kid in high school? I don't know if I was.
I think I just like to get along.
Right.
That's not really true. I think I like to make people laugh because I felt like if you had people laughing, then they wouldn't fuck with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. Wow. That's where it came from.
So yeah, I think so.
So it was like a defense mechanism.
I think every person in comedy to something.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Would you do characters or impersonate any of your friends and teachers? That's kind of how I started to...
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But I wasn't fancying myself like, I'm going to be a comedian
someday.
Or I'm going to be an actor or anything like that.
When did that point happen? Were you working at the bank?
I was working at the bank.
Yeah.
What bank? A loan officer in a bank.
Can we still talk about that bank?
First Los Angeles Bank. It doesn't exist anymore.
What's up, Gary, in accounting?
Yeah, no, it doesn't exist. Although it's in Century City, right across the street from where CAA now
is.
Ah, there you go.
And it's a big agency for those. but no, it's weird. It was from, I went and saw a comedy show at the Groundling Theater in LA while I was a loan officer at a bank. And I went, I've never seen improv before. I would like to do that.
Just off one show.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Did you then quit your job?
I did. I quit my job Friday.
Wow.
A friend of mine from business school at USC.
Yeah, fight on.
All gone to,
right? We're all Trojans here. Yes.
And
I feel like we should, is there like a handshake or something we're supposed to do?
No.
Were you in a fraternity?
He was. I was not.
Yeah. Let me guess. Sigma.
Sigma something.
You know, something. Sigma, you were the Jew. Jewish fraternity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
AE Pi.
All right. That was one of those.
Yeah.
You were one?
I was a Phi Delt. Which. Dude,
my roommate, freshman year, was a Phi Delt. And guess what? My senior year, their house burned down. Arson.
It did?
And
oh, they no, blamed I it. Need to give them money.
There you go.
Dude, it was, I really went over to the row and saw it, and it was just – it looked like a movie set. Like the entire frat house was just burning from top to bottom.
Really?
And they all tried to say that it was a homeless guy, that homeless guys burned it down, which – okay.
Yeah, guy walks into a frat house and just lights it on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, that's possible when you consider where USC is, which is in like a skid row.
Yeah, but South Central.
And a fraternity house, which all – it's just a mansion with open doors.
You're right.
Yeah, it is.
It could have happened.
But some of the homeless people –
also just as easily have been a very drunk 20-year-old kid.
For sure, that's what they kind of cracked
down
on.
Smoking pot or whatever.
Yeah, sure. Or just like, wouldn't it be funny if we lit this room on fire?
Right, yeah, exactly. It was completely intentional. No, we did it. We wanted to do it. We just didn't want to turn into that. This homeless dude.
Yeah, yeah. But those homeless dudes in that area were very, like, I don't know, they were they were personable. Like, there was only a couple that were like, you know, that were like guest
only
stars.
A couple. You knew there was them a nice all cast. So well that you like you had a fucking tally.
There was if there was a reality show called like, you know, Trash Can Pillow or something, and it was and you had to cast and you had to cast homeless people, the ones in the surrounding area on USC would have been great. There was one called Slim who would always hang out at Spud Nuts, the donut shop.
Oh yeah.
And he would do
I remember Slim.
Oh, he'd do tricks, he'd do like at one point I said, Slim, we'll give you $20 if you like make up an alphabet. And he goes,
said
fuck.
The asshole who what made the bum do tricks for money.
Mike, he was doing it anyway. And
sure.
No. See,
it was like, you know, remember that fucking seal that was begging for that ate fish? I did a trick. He was doing that before when he was starving before.
No, you sound like one of those dance moms that enters their year and a half year old in pageants. You go, no, this is what she wants to do. Whip the child.
It's her idea.
You watch those pageant shows.
I do.
You have a great bit about it.
I do. All my bits are great.
Let's be honest. I'm kind of a comedic genius here.
They wouldn't be here if they weren't great.
What is it about those shows that drives you? I mean, I'm sure it just irks you a little
bit. You're literally just asking me to do my routine?
No, I'm just asking
not
you.
The routine.
I'm just asking you. Like,
I like
originally
fucked up.
Okay,
I like
that's what I was getting at. Yeah.
Bad parenting that is rewarded financially is to me. I don't know. Are you guys witnessing the fall of our country?
Oh, it's yeah.
The burning. I'm kind of just like the burning of Rome. I'm watching it and eating popcorn. Going, am I the only one?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah,
yeah. My favorite one of those shows. It's like the dance show. It's like Abby is the instructor, and she's like, really fat.
Yeah, you're pretending to, like, I don't know, it's that show. Where,
it's that show
I've got
that I don't
know. A couple of details about it.
I mean,
it's called Dance Moms, and you yes. know, you know it.
Abby, yes. I'm trying to
know the lead character's name.
Sure. I do. I'm trying to be like, nah, you know that one dance show? What,
you know,
yeah, I fuck I chicks. What's up?
It's like, while I'm fucking my girlfriend, she's watching that show.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what it is. It's, you know, it's her, the character's name, Abby. I don't know. She really doesn't like it when they don't step ball change. But,
is that what they call it, step ball change?
I don't know. That's what I heard. When I'm step ball changing my girlfriend in the bathroom. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm definitely fucking my girlfriend. Well, it's cause, and I'm a he. And she's a G, which makes me straight. But that fat dance lady, Abby, on Dance Moms, I don't know why she's not nicer to the kids.
I mean, I was really fucked up when she got mad at Tiffany. Like, Tiffany's like 4, and like it's really hard to shuffle off the Buffalo. So I've been told. I don't know about it.
Well, I was told that.
Yeah, I was told that.
While I was getting head from my girlfriend.
Yeah. Grabbing the back of her very long, non-mannish hair. That's what I do.
How long have those kids been doing what they're doing since, like, the get-go? That's what I always...
Since mom was able to manipulate their little baby legs to do like fucking puppets. Fan kicks. While they're... Yeah.
I'm sure she did sit there, right? And, like they were a marionette.
This is how you do wings, honey. And just flare them out.
The worst are, like, on one of them... not one of them. It's, you know, the one. The toddlers and tiaras.
Hug that mic a little more.
The moms, have you ever heard the mom go, get it, you get those judges. You make those judges fall in love with you.
Yeah.
That's the same as, like, whoring. I mean, it's the same. There's literally no difference. Make them fall in love with you. Show them some thigh. when they flash their headlights. Like what?
Flash those headlights? Is that
you
a
know,
term?
Like a whore on the street, sure. Like getting the cars to stop.
Yeah, man. I know. I know whores on the street way more than I know these Toddlers and Tiara shows. I'm just picking up whores, man, all the time.
It's the worst. I can't believe that the like if they whoever's crowned the little girl is crowned the winner. Mm-hmm. The parents should then be hauled off to jail
for sure.
You know, and that's the girl.
That's a
real
part
prize.
Of the package. Yeah,
yeah.
That you don't have to listen.
Yeah, you win. New
the
parents.
Money, what you really were looking for, but we brought you what you need, which is your parents in jail.
New parents. Now, speaking of parents, is a weird transition. But when you call your parents up and say, "Hey, I'm not going to be at the bank anymore, and I'm going to be doing groundlings."
Yeah.
Like, what's their reaction to that?
It was bad because right. They put me through an expensive business school.
Sure, USC.
To be in a job in business.
Right.
So
you're just like, but it's a different business. It's show business.
Yeah, I wish. Oh, they're not fans.
No.
Of they think show business is I'm sure they think of it like they're how do I put it? I think they think it's worthless.
Okay.
Not worthless.
How do you say not good for humanity?
They say it's a phrase. Like, it's for the Jews.
No, but they definitely think
aids of society, show business.
I think think it's not real. It's not a legitimate way to
of course.
Earn a living.
You're being
silly. I'm sure they're happy that I'm, you know, as to quote one of them, you know, we're glad you got a couple nickels to rub together, but like that.
A couple nickels to rub together. God, I love that. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Nickels rubbed, yeah.
But they, I think they are happy I'm not, you know, homeless or anything like that.
Right,
but
sure.
They don't think like, well, we're really proud mm-hmm. that our son is saying, you know, dick jokes or just repeating words that other people have written. You know,
right.
Like it's not.
They're like,
it's
we're
not curing cancer.
Yeah. They're like, we're happy you don't have to have frat guys pay you to do the alphabet outside of a donut shop.
Like,
I'm calling
like
back to call back to USC.
No, what's his name again? Just Slim.
Slim. Yeah.
Oh, just Slim. I was thinking there was. I was trying to give him a name.
Yeah.
Identity.
The name.
We don't give him humanity.
Slim Jim. Slim Sam. Something. But no, just
that.
Slim. He's just an adjective. He's a state of fatness or not.
That's all he gets.
Oh.
But like, and
a lot of charisma on that guy.
Sure.
Now, and I asked because I had kind of a similar situation where when I started doing stand-up, I dropped out of USC, called my parents and said, I'm not doing this.
They were bummed out?
Yeah, and very bummed out, but I just knew...
Do they live in Fullerton?
Yeah, they still live in Fullerton.
How do we not know each other? Oh, because I'm 75 years old.
Right.
You are.
I'm 29. I don't know how old you are, but yeah.
Are you 29?
Yeah.
It's really hard to tell with you people. You could be 29 or 4.
That. You know what? It's funny you bring that up, because that's absolutely true. I did a gig, Jim Jeffries and I.
I mean, there's a part of me that wants to tell you to go to bed.
Why are you drinking alcohol?
No. No, that I get.
Okay.
I was doing it at your age.
I did a gig with Jim Jeffries, and we did it at the Little People Convention. And yes, those exist.
Is Jim Jeffries one? I don't know who he is.
He's an Australian comedian.
Yeah.
Is he a little?
No, he's he's tall.
Is he a little?
But he just wanted to do it, and it's probably for the material.
Sure.
And he asked me, he's like, "What's the thing about like flirting with dwarf girls?" And I had to tell him, like, you have to know how old they are, because we don't know how old. Like, I
can't tell each other.
I've had the mistake where I'm like saying three things to a girl, like, "Oh, hi, this girl's pretty cute. She's having a good time." She's 7. Holy fuck. Okay, I'm going to walk the other way.
Wait, do you guys just, you grow quick? Like, and were you the same height since you were 7?
Yeah, like I was like 3'8" when I was 7, and now I'm 4'4". It's not a big jump or anything like that.
Sure.
So we literally can make that mistake. It's kind
interesting.
Of,
that's
kind of awkward.
That's really, I know a lot, believe me, I know a lot about you people, and I've never heard that.
What do you mean, you people?
You know what I'm talking about.
We're little non little people.
There it is.
There it is.
That's what your voice sounds like with my balls in your mouth.
Oh, Michael McDonald. Oh, it's the best.
There you go.
We call him Thundercock.
How often does the Michael McDonald mix up with the singer happen, honestly?
I don't think it ever happens as a real mix-up, but as a
icebreaker
joke, it's hourly. Like
from you?
Oh my god! I thought you were Yam will be there, right? Like. No, yeah, never. I bet people say this all the time. No, there it is. Look at you just had a fucking ready on your.
I did.
Very tiny. Now for no. you is an iPad like
a big
holding,
screen TV?
Is it like holding a big
no,
screen?
No, this is not an iPad. This is my iPhone.
It is. Oh my god! I just realized I forgot about scale.
Yeah. You kind of got to use that.
Oh my
so.
Goodness! I just put my hand to tap your. Face and I lost your whole body.
That's about right. But when you decided that you're gonna quit your job and do this and be in show business, did you know you're like I cannot do anything else? Like this is the gig for me. Because I mean, like to drop out, that's just a huge leap of faith. Or did you just like I'm going to succeed at this?
God, you know, I would, it's been 25 years.
Sure.
I would say, I wish I could say it was that obvious,
mm-hmm.
but it was obvious enough that I did it.
Mm-hmm. And then like the first, when you first start doing scenes, it's just like, yeah, this is where I belong.
Once I got on stage, I kind of feel like it saved my life in a really weird way. I think
so?
Not even a weird way, a real way. I think I was really depressed, mm-hmm. and I think
you weren't totally happy with doing the business route.
I was just not happy with my life in general, and I think it actually helped me work out. Aside from knowing what I wanted to do with my life as an occupation or whatever, I think it actually helped me work out a whole bunch of other personal, you know, private things. That I was wrestling with, and I went, you can actually deal with them through your work in whatever way you want to. Some people do it overtly, or some people do it subtly, but that you could, to me, it was like therapy, paid therapy. Yeah. That's what I'd call it.
Now, in getting into the show business, was the goal to meet all the top little people? Or was that just a side thing?
That was just gravy, motherfucker, gravy.
That was just a bonus.
Who was in your Groundlings class when you first started there?
Well, I mean, it's hard to like. It's not exactly like college or high school where you're exactly the same all the time. But mm-hmm. in the people that I had in classes. There were
because you go through levels and then you get to the main company, which is
I sort of view it like in my time during the Groundlings, everyone from as you mentioned, Lisa Kudrow is going to do your thing. Lisa was a little bit ahead of me, but I mean there are people behind me.
But then Melissa
McCarthy was one of my students, and her husband Ben was, and
Phil Hartman was above you.
Phil Hartman, I mean you name it: Maya Rudolph, Chris Kattan, Will Ferrell,
Kristen Wiig,
Cheryl Hines, Kristen Wiig,
wow,
Matt, all the people from Mad TV, Phil Lamar, Mary Shear,
Jesus,
me. There are so, and there are a million writers that I couldn't even name, but it was weird. When we were all there at that time, there, like, everyone was struggling, scraping to get by. And now, when I look at the Oscars or mm-hmm. the Emmys or even just shows that are on, I can find somebody that I worked with at the Groundlings.
That's crazy.
Somewhere, almost on every show. It's really, really rewarding.
What do you like attribute that to? I mean, because there's no
talent. They're talented people.
It is kind of crazy though that one center like that can just draw.
Well,
in...
it's not the only one. I mean, there are Second City, UCB,
right? But I feel like Groundlings has the most people of like.
Well, it's the oldest in LA.
Okay,
mm-hmm. So I feel like that's part of it. But
and what did you dig about? Because it was I've done classes at both, and I. But I think the Groundlings is – it was just so much more character-driven, and that's why I loved it,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, it's like obviously there's still the rules and game of improv that they're stressing on you, but it –
Yeah, I feel like there's always some weird impulse to pit sketch and improv theaters against each other, and I don't think there's really that kind of – I don't think there's that kind of feeling between them in reality. I do know that there are different emphases.
Mm-hmm.
Slight in general, it doesn't mean much, but I think the Groundlings is a little bit more character-y. I think Second City is a little bit more the idea, the thought, the maybe a little bit more political, and maybe UCB is
more of the game of the sketch, like the, you know.
I actually don't know enough about it.
Long
or IO, I would say, is a little bit more of the game, but maybe the scene. I think UCB might be the scene, but in general, they all will say all are important.
Of course,
right?
So. There was a game I did in one of my class. Ted Michaels was my teacher for a few of them.
Ted,
yeah, and there was a game where you basically just had to contort your face. I don't know if you like if this was some of the games were consistent with other teachers.
Sure, they kind of all are.
Yeah, where you just like you know just make really weird faces. Then he would say stop, and then you just had to start talking however your face was.
Yeah,
however that and like whatever voice, oh, wow. whatever you, and then. He would put you in a scene, and that was so fucking awesome to me.
Yeah, it was
so
fun. It was very freeing,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
I mean, it's the perfect kind of thing. I recommend it to anybody in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm looking for myself, or I want to know what is fun in life, or I just need to do something on a Tuesday.
Sure.
Something like that.
And it's not even like if you, do this if you want to get in the show business. It's to do it. Yeah.
I had people that I've taught that were, you know, I'm a banker, and I do this, and... whatever, and they. I, that's why I said therapy.
Yeah, because you. I mean, you don't
I
have that
therapeutic.
You don't have that opportunity to be silly at your job,
right?
It's always you know someone's watching or someone's. Now, when you're at the Groundlings, any of the characters that you developed there, did you bring them to Mad TV? Like, did any of those characters make those transitions?
Yeah, a lot. I would say many of the ones that. I ended up doing on Mad TV were all started at the Groundlings for sure.
Wow. So like the depressed Persian
that
truck
was not,
driver?
Actually, that was not.
That was my favorite character on Mad, man. I love that character.
Well, here's the story behind that. The writer behind that was a Groundling.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Stephen Cragg.
Mm-hmm.
And he...
He's Persian?
He is not, but he came to work late one day. I remember we were supposed to write, and he came really late, and he was all upset. And he had been in an accident, and then he had to get towed to the studio to get to work, or he got his car towed, and they offered to tow him back to his house. They gave him a ride. But he's like, and he started describing this character that towed him. It was a real guy, and he's like, and I'm thinking of writing this, and I was thinking, I don't know, I'll just write it and you know have one of the cast members do it. And I go, the cast member is me.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was so funny.
Now, I don't mean to go all James Lipton on you, but is there any way I can speak to the depressed Persian tow truck driver right now?
Oh, no.
Can I talk? If you don't want to, it's fine. But I take one more hit.
I'm just going to get
Daddy needs his medicine from the wizard pipe.
Wow. That was I forgot about that part of Inside the Actor Studio where Lipton goes, can I talk to Homer Simpson for a minute?
Right.
Like that is so when you break it down so creepy. But I guess flattering.
No, but the best thing about him is how creepy he is.
Yeah,
oh, sure.
Because the type of creepy to where you know, if he started like petting you at a bus stop and talking to you,
but it was James Lipton. It's what he does,
yeah, and he knows that too. I'm sure he abuses that power.
And
wouldn't it be great to be creep that you could be like, you know what I've done is I've just told everyone how creepy I am, and now I have a fucking green light. Anywhere,
yeah.
Because it's James Lipton.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Well, it's kind of like how Rickles is the insult comic.
Yes.
And it's an honor to be insulted by Rickles. And
it's an honor to be groped by Lipton.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Groped by Lipton, by the way, should be a one-act play that somebody puts up.
One-eyed.
One act.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You know, like groped by Lipton. Yeah, well, the poster is him just doing that wink towards the camera. And it's just a bunch of, it's almost like the vagina monologues, but it's just a bunch of recounts of people who've been groped by James Lipton.
Yeah, who've been finger blasted against their will.
That's one of the
who've been finger blasted in between compliments.
And who hasn't really?
It's really hard to object when they're telling you you're wonderful as they finger bang you.
That almost sounded like a Morgan Freeman impression. It's really hard to say no when a man's fingers are inside you.
It was 48.
Why aren't you doing more black voiceover?
It was 48 degrees in the fall of winter. The summer eve was crisp. The wind was colorful.
You do have a good voice, I will say.
Oh, thanks.
There you go.
I mean, I got to give you something. It ain't the face of the body. Might as well be the voice.
Was that Cat Williams?
I do not know.
It isn't the face of the body, motherfucker, but it's got to be the voice.
That guy is hilarious.
Isn't he?
I think Cat Williams is hilarious.
I love that you say that.
It's called self-esteem, bitch.
God damn it. He's funny.
So funny. Dude. It sucks. That's a guy that's just, I mean, he do debt and the multiple kids and... Fuck, man. He just and drugs.
What are you talking about? Are things bad?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Really?
He even went on a tirade in Seattle after some show went on the news. Was out on the street. He'd like walked out of a show and then basically said, "I'm retiring from stand-up."
Oh no.
He's drugs, a lot of kids, lack of money, paying all that. I mean, it's
he's hilarious.
Yeah, but he is doing a New Year's show here in L.A.
Really?
I think he's at the Nokia.
Oh god. Really? Maybe that's his comeback.
I hope so.
That would be amazing.
It would be amazing.
I like people like that dude.
So cool.
Was there any like guest hosts or guest stars on Mad TV where you got starstruck and you were just like, oh my god, I can't believe I'm working with this person?
Yeah, because I feel like you get to
for
a
sure.
Yeah, because I feel like you get to a point after just meeting enough of those people that it's just not right. Like
First of all, we're talking about Mad TV, so it's not like we really. We just got
Connie treated. Chung.
After we had our third wrestler, you start to look at them as if they're all the same.
I mean, I was nervous when I met Hillbilly Jim, but then shortly after that, Coco Beware
like
came on.
A good YouTube channel, they would be like our guests. I mean, our guest hosts.
Right.
But I don't. Well, wait a minute. That was the people that ran the show.
Pull that
like
closer
I said,
if you want.
I'm afraid to.
Really?
I'm hoping to not be heard.
All right.
The people. Why do you have me? Like the microphone is in
there, can
my
you hear it sound a bit, yeah.
uvula.
Yeah. You can even take it out if you want. Perfect.
No, but there were good guests. Mm-hmm. Kathy Bates.
Oh my god.
Susan Sarandon.
What?
She and
loves
more.
Comedy, doesn't she?
She does. The weird thing was, is I heard. Well, Tim Robbins also did it, and they were together at the time. But
sure.
Kathy Bates, I heard through a hair person that Kathy Bates liked the show and liked a character I did, and so I through hair said, "Tell your friend in hair in the other part of the
it's
world."
Like an it's an underground world. Those
hair
it's people.
Complete hair is
they gossip.
Big world.
They know everything, right?
They,
that's like
well,
no.
If you want something done. Go to hair.
Okay.
But I literally said, if Kathy Bates ever wants to do the show, I would love her to do it. And so I wrote a sketch for her to play a relative of a character I did on the show. And ditto Susan Sarandon. Same deal.
Jesus.
I heard. I was like, I just leapt the minute
Dude,
I did.
Dude, so you're responsible for them being on?
No. I mean, no. I think they are.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. They did. You think like I could get them to do it without them against their will? They were like, I don't know. Sure, I'll do Mad TV. Mad TV was like, absolutely.
Wait, has Michael McDonald signed off on this?
Yeah, has he?
but like, is there a point? And that's such a crazy thing that, especially now with like Twitter nowadays, like you could just tweet a celebrity and they have a good chance of seeing it.
Yeah, it's a very different world now.
Do you like that? I mean,
I love
the amount of social media now versus
I hate having to do it as a comedian.
Right, right. As a means of self-promotion.
Yeah. That it makes me really sad on every level. But I have to say, I've been sort of delighted on a daily basis in some way or another by either hearing from somebody I thought was great or being able to reach out to somebody or just
and have it not be weird.
Yeah. It's a very new thing.
If you're on there, if you're signed
or like
up,
that
it's assumed.
That person, I'm sure you felt this way, like that person I loved when I was 10
mm-hmm.
and they get in touch on Facebook or you could.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That being said, all that positive being said, I would love to shut both those accounts off immediately.
So basically, Mike McDonald is say, do not follow him on Twitter. Don't go on. Don't go
Thank
on his
you.
Facebook.
What is your Twitter? You know. At McDonald Comedy, right?
Yes, and which is a name I didn't pick, and I'm upset about.
Really?
But
what would you have picked?
My name? I don't know, or something. Not like my name and my job or something.
Be like at midget adjacent or something,
right?
Midget adjacent.
Just to throw people
I
off.
Can cover you with my hand.
or what was it? Groped by Lipton.
Groped by Lipton.
Yeah. But that's the thing too. Like, there's Twitter accounts for personalities. There's Twitter accounts for
right. And,
I mean,
well, that also
people follow
think,
Justin
like,
Bieber fan club. People follow, you know, like a Twitter handle just called, you know, Beliebers. I mean, it's like it's out of
One of my favorites is called Goddamn Batman, and it's just it's just what Batman would say, and I think it's hilarious.
Yeah,
but yeah, there's just like there's characters on Twitter now that you could create.
What would would you now if Stuart was at the height of popularity it was now? No, listen to this. Hey, I'm serious.
We're not
I'm
asking serious. You to do it this time. Yeah, we're not asking you to do Stuart.
But I'm asking this, Mike. If it were where
my Mike has checked Mike out. He's put his head down on the table.
He knows that we're buddies, and I just fucking very like fucking talk showy cheese dick.
Hey man, so Stuart, that was a crazy character, right? Yeah.
But I was being serious. I was so being serious. Give me that lighter, please.
There you go. Yeah, have another hit. Sure. Now, wait, but like, you're touring nowadays doing stand-up, and you didn't...
Said the kid who grew up in an alcoholic family and knows how to cover it.
Woo!
Hey, what about what's over here?
Look at the shiny object in my hand.
Oh,
look.
Yes,
okay, yes, stand-up. Yes. Okay. But, like, but you didn't get that... You didn't get a start in stand-up comedy, though.
I did not. I started in sketch.
Right,
with Growlings,
all that.
And then I think most people in stand-up, like, you start in stand-up and then you maybe act or get a talk show or whatever. You go that way. I've gone the opposite. I'm the Benjamin Button.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of more sketch and improv people are doing that and not successfully because they didn't I mean, I think you probably knew getting into it that you're going to have to commit a little, like, as far as, like, being gone and doing the road a lot. But I think there's a handful of people who are doing it who are just, like, trying to pop in on shows here and there and just kind of hope that's enough.
Yeah, you can't. I don't think you can do that. But that's not a comment on their ability.
No.
It's a comment on their availability.
Sure.
And apparently, I'm very available.
No, but, like,
that's why you're a good comic, because you have nothing else going on.
Nothing to gain or lose.
But didn't you know getting into it that you're like, I mean, did you talk, like, Bobby Lee, I know, was, right? Like, kind of.
Bobby Lee's 100% responsible.
But, like, did he tell you?
Him and Kathy Griffin, for sure, the two.
But so did they give you, like, a heads up, like, hey, if you're going to do this, or do they just kind of trust it, like, oh, Michael will figure it out? Or do they say, like, hey, you're going to have to really give yourself over to this to, like, get good for
a
couple
years? No, I
don't
think that. No, because they weren't giving career advice. They were just, I think they were talking, you know, performer to performer.
Yeah.
You should try this.
Right.
And has it been something you've enjoyed doing? Is the transition like cool for you, or do you look at stand up as this next job that you have to do, or do you truly enjoy doing it?
I would say it's a combination. I would say first it's
Now just let it be known.
By the way, the beige carpet that you have in your house is so sad. And by the way, it's a dirty beige, like it's a smoky beige that's
I didn't pick it.
Dirt. No, but it's old and sad and it's almost greasy.
This carpet's got stories, Mike McDonald.
Are you describing my carpet or Gary Busey?
I'm talking about your bush.
Yeah. But I mean, but that's one thing is you've been able to do so much. Like, you do stand-up, the improv, the sketch, and then also you direct a ton of stuff. Like, I didn't even realize this till I looked up your IMDb page. Like, you're direct. Like, as a director, how is that transition? In terms of has it given you a greater respect now for directors when someone's directing you that you've been
it's
in that
given,
position?
It's, you know, I would say it's given me much less respect for actors.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you've directed Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23, Two Broke Girls, Cougar Town, Scrubs, Mad TV, Seventh Heaven. What was there an experience on any of those shows that made you go, man, well, wait, actors are fucking bummers?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first of all, in or general, all of them.
Yeah.
In that list, there are some like people. You just saying names. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot. I love that person.
Oh, really?
Or that person.
Yeah.
That actor, this actor, yeah, whatever. Yeah. I think what it is maybe I would all I do is I judge the bad behavior I had as an actor.
Okay.
When I was just acting. That's mm-hmm. what it is. I hate the actor in me. How's that?
Oh, okay.
Man. No, so, but I.
So you look back at things you did on set going, oh, God, that must have pissed off that director.
Yes. That's okay. All I've done is I've revisited my own sins mm-hmm. and gone like, oh, wow, I wish I could redo that moment.
So like when you were like, man, my first TV job at Family Matters, I should have not fucking said that N-word to Carl Winslow during the scene. Now I see, in retrospect, as an actor, that was a poor choice of words, and I should have.
Actually, that is a great example of the opposite. Here, that was my first job, Family yeah. Matters.
By the way, it's my favorite show of all time. Do you know that?
That needs to be fixed. That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's an amazing show.
No, it's not.
But that how was dare first, you talk
that,
shit on Family Matters?
That was my first job on TV, mm-hmm. and the director of that episode yeah. was so mean to me.
What?
There's you know those weird stories you have in your life where you where
want to kill somebody. Some,
well, yeah, where everything comes full circle.
Yes,
or okay. whatever. And the guy, the director, was clearly like a beat-faced, alcoholic, angry sure. dude directing TV. Because
I hate people that drink for no reason.
I don't like it when they... Yeah, have a reason.
No, like doing a podcast. With, yeah. Yeah, like that's a good reason
yeah,
to drink.
Yeah.
Let me slurp my scotch.
No, but he was an unhappy person.
Okay.
And that show had been on the air forever.
Yep.
And there were children and or maybe actors who've been around for a long time are like, yeah, you know, after a while actors get sloppy and they're like,
eh. Oh, for real?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but this was my first job and yeah. I was really
nervous,
everything
anxious,
dedicated,
yeah,
nervous
sure.
and
yeah.
not going to mess it up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And in the middle of some take, he said, you're not on your mark. And I looked and I was, I mean, there's your mark in television is like a tape of tea. You
yeah.
put, you know, a T-shaped piece of tape.
Right.
And you put one foot on one side of the T and the one foot on the other.
And if you're entering a room, you need to stand there
like
so that.
You do. You know, you hit your mark.
Yes.
And I looked at my feet and my feet were in that fucking T like nobody's business.
Yeah.
Like my life depended on
sure.
it.
Sure.
And I go, I'm actually on my mark.
Wow.
And
what, did you hear?
But I
did
didn't
you
say
hear
it.
Yourself?
I didn't say like, hey, motherfucker, I'm yeah. on my mark. I was like, no, I'm on my mark.
Oh, so, oh, so you're scared. You're scared
yeah.
saying it.
Did you hear yourself saying it and be like, don't say that? Like the words
no,
were
no, no, no. Like I was, I'm going to tell
stick
everyone I'm on my mark.
This was Matilda talking back to the Trunchbull.
I was terrified of not
how about
being
that
on
reference?
My mark. It was like the, you know, the... yeah, it was like I was in a World War II movie. Like I was, I'm in line.
McDonald, shoot up!
I'm here. And then I realized that the why the shot was blown and why the director yelled out was the other actors were not on their mark, but they were the series regulars.
Oh,
and
shit!
So he can't yell at them.
So he comes to me and goes, "Next time on the next take, even if you're on your mark, you pull them." Onto their marks, like I'm gonna
Jesus,
do that.
Jesus, now the episode is in
yeah.
your hands.
Yeah, and I was so terrified. I was like, as a director, why wouldn't you have the power and,
sure.
and responsibility
to speak
to
up
make
to
that
Carl
happen?
Winslow?
And many years later, after that horrible experience, I'm on Mad TV. I'd been on for a few years, and who walks on but the same red face, just bloated.
Did he look like the guy who runs Men's Warehouse?
He kind of did. And
I guarantee it.
He was really mean.
Again.
And he started to yell at everybody. And I said to him, I don't know if you remember this, but many years ago we worked together.
Oh, wow.
And you were mean to me then. You're not going to be mean to me now. Just tell me and everybody who works here what, you know, what you need, and we'll get it for you. And if you can't do it politely, you probably won't be back here again.
Wow.
And he was freaked out.
Wow.
And all he did then, I just watched him, he just threw like peanuts and candy in his mouth. During the tape.
What was he, Dumbo?
I think it was nervous eating.
Yeah, for sure. Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy that you got that opportunity, because most people don't get that opportunity to come back to the person like at first, and now you're in kind of a position of power, like you're the regular on the show.
Although I would say I've had a length of time where there was a big long list in the beginning of my career, like I can't wait. and then now I realize, like, oh no, you know what? There are all kinds of things that factor into people's day.
Sure.
And they're,
yeah, you can't spend your day.
It's oddly enough now I feel a surprising lack of, like, I've really got to show somebody what they what life is all about.
Right.
And more just like, yeah.
But on Scrubs, is that weird to come into a show that's so successful and then do you kind of just stand back and go, all right, I'm going to kind of bring what I know, but I can't step in too much because these guys are kind of on autopilot right now?
I didn't walk on thinking I had to do anything more than I needed to do, which was to shows like that. That's the beauty of shows like that, is everybody's been doing it. They know what they're doing, and you're kind of there. Directing on a show like that is
easy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if the
show is successful, it is you are walking.
It's a little bit like saying, you know, like how did you avoid turning right on that train that's already in a track that has no ability to turn?
Right.
Like, there's no turning. Okay. So you just ride that.
Okay.
Was there ever a situation that you walked in that wasn't the train on the track and you were the...
Yeah, a lot of new shows. You know, like,
okay.
So this year I directed a bunch of shows that are... Some haven't even aired.
Yeah, and that's not saying that the actors or the people on the show are bad. I'm not saying that at all.
No,
it's just saying...
It's not established.
Yeah, it's not a well-oiled machine at
exactly.
that point. Because, like, we are a well-oiled machine here. We know that
you're
I make
the Scrubs of podcasts.
We are the Scrubs of podcasts.
No, we're the Designing Women of podcasts.
That's even better.
Take it.
Maybe the Empty Nest of podcasts.
There you go.
Remember that show?
I do.
Do you like? He says that with shame.
No,
I remember it.
Do you like
sitcoms?
I do. I love sitcoms.
Right.
Actually.
But like, what's your favorite show? Like, what's a show that got you? Like, when you're in the Groundlings, and you're coming up. Obviously, you're influenced by other, you know, right? You're watching a lot of comedy. So, like, what was your? Was it stand up or was it just great shows? Or
stand up wise, there I had very few influences, or I wouldn't say influences, but people that I watched, you know, and liked. But they were like, I loved Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Did you see his new special, by the way?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
Is it?
It's really good.
I love Bill Cosby.
And I was watching that special like with really high expectations and getting nervous because I'm like, oh my God, I'm thinking this is going to be the greatest thing ever. And then it was?
Oh, that's so
here's
good.
Here's the thing. I feel like he's been, when I see him on talk shows, he's a little, his age shows a little bit where he's a little like not with it. But it's like, but his stand-up show.
He is. He's old.
Yeah. But his stand-up show is something he's been doing hours. Like he's touring. He's been touring
from what I hear, he does a two-hour show.
Yeah. And he's been doing that the last 10 years. So everything he's doing in that show, he said over and over, so I bet he's not stumbling because he's like, I know exactly what the fuck I'm going to say.
I've never seen him live. I grew up listening to him on like a vinyl record. Like,
sure.
Same with George Carlin.
Okay, so that was another one.
George Carlin, perfect example of like meeting your hero.
You met him?
Yeah, because he came and guested on Mad TV. That's another one. Why didn't I bring that up?
That's incredible.
So he is doing a sketch. I'm in the sketch with him.
Wow.
And I'm really nervous.
Yeah.
Because it's George Carlin.
It's fucking George Carlin.
And I'm excited. And most importantly, like, I want George Carlin to think I'm funny. Like,
I was just going to say.
More than anything.
You do, right? When you meet your hero, you want to be validated.
There's a whole crew, you know, people around and other actors that I should probably want their opinion or to please them.
No.
They've faded away. All I can think of is I'm in a scene with George Carlin,
yeah,
I want him to think I'm funny.
Yeah.
And I say to him, or he's doing bits. He's doing like a lot of his famous bits from his act, you know, like his, talking about God. He was mm-hmm. we were playing a sketch where he was dying and he was about to meet God, but he was an atheist.
So okay.
It turned him in between takes. He's doing all of his jokes about God and comedy, and the crew who never laughs at anything, they're dying laughing because it's fucking George Carlin doing his amazing material, and I'm just dying to get George Carlin's attention. I say, like, there's a lull in his act that he's doing for free for these people who that's what they want to see. I go, relax, George, you got the job.
Well done, sir. No, you didn't.
That's exactly what I said.
Oh my God!
And the whole the crew, the audience, which was the crew, which was my crew,
right?
They turn on me like, "What the fuck? You say this, George Carlin?" George Carlin looks at me with genuine hurt in his eyes, like, "Why? I'm trying to make everyone love me, kid. What are you doing?" And I'm thinking, all I was trying to do is get you to love me, and I made you sad. That is comedy to me in infinite form. Like, oh no.
But
what?
I'm over. It's done. No, I can't talk anymore. It hurts too much. That's nuts. But that's a moment where, like, you have George Carlin talking about it, like doing his bits and making everyone laugh. And of course, as the comic, you're thinking, how can I get in on this? How can I make?
All I wanted was to get approval.
Did you feel? Did you feel like remorse for days of like, what did I do to my hero?
I'm talking about it now. Yeah. It was 10 years ago.
That's Jesus. That's your Bill Buckner ball goes through the legs moment. You're just like, if only I just got the glove like 2 inches lower.
Yo, we went. Speaking of Boston Red Sox, that was your first time to Fenway, wasn't it? When we went in Boston?
Wait, yes. What?
Oh, when you guys were shooting The Heat, a movie which has made over $200 million together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is why we're in this gorgeous apartment.
You know what?
Bobby
I don't like
Lee.
The way you said gorgeous. I think that was a little condescending. You're making fun of our rug.
Well, I can't be responsible for your interpretation.
Bobby Lee walked in when he did this podcast with us, and he just looked around and goes, oh, so this is where you live if you're in the number one movie in America. then Adam's pride, you know, just kind of dropped a little bit.
But when we met out there on the first day, we did like, what, it was literally maybe 7 minutes of shooting, that like one surveillance camera shot, remember?
I don't.
He was really high and drunk at the time. I know it's hard to believe.
You were in a lot of ibuprofen.
as he points to the wizard pipe.
Michael Rapaport
shot. Yes. Like we'd all gotten there, and you were had to cancel. You had just found out you got in the movie, right?
You're supposed to be in the parlor in Seattle. No. You're right.
Yeah.
And I had to cancel a day from the All American Comedy in San Diego. And
well, that story's great, by the way. Your morning radio.
Oh my god! Oh no, that's right.
All right, I'll tell that real quick.
Okay,
so he has to do the morning radio show, and this is
in San Diego.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're doing a morning radio show in San Diego to promote your shows in San Diego.
It's not radio. It's TV.
TV.
Local TV news.
And what tragedy had just gone down?
The Aurora, Colorado Batman shootings had occurred on a Thursday night.
Oh god!
And Friday morning, I wake up, as anyone who's doing press, you do it really early. I wake up at 6 in the morning. I don't turn on the TV. I don't do nothing. We go straight to the TV station, which is, and you know, believe me, it's not whatever the number one radio or TV show in San Diego.
Wake up, San Diego.
It's not that. It's 10 steps down. You're like, am I still am I in Mexico? Because I feel like that's where we're.
It's Wake Up San Diego for people at like 2:30 in the afternoon who are waking
it's
up.
It's a small.
I've done a bunch
small,
of those shows.
Sad,
yeah.
Maybe. Possibly a college station. I don't know what the fuck it was.
So you're doing it to promote the shows for the weekend?
Yes. Yeah. And it's a brand new. It's the opening weekend or ish of this new club that is desperate for press.
American Comedy
on this
Club,
shitbox station. I don't remember what it was, but the lowest in San Diego.
Yeah.
So like everybody's there, like their constant move is like, don't go anywhere, just stay here because we're all on our fingernails holding onto a cliff.
We've got more things on the show.
Financially, everything's a disaster.
Mike McDonald is on. Just yeah, keep it's watching. Just horrible.
Like when I'm your savior, you know how bad it is.
That's not
but
true.
It gets worse, which is there's a little holding room that they put you in when you're about to go on. They're talking about the weather, they're whatever. And you're seeing the broadcast of the show.
So you're watching the weather going to be like, and again, it's going to be 77 degrees
and
fucking again because we live in San Diego.
Exactly.
Right.
And they're broadcasting the real time, what's going on. And suddenly,
of the shooting?
No.
Of the weather. Okay.
Whatever. And it flips to this horrible event. And I'm like, what? What's going on? And they're like, you know, like I'm the only person. Oh,
nice. That was the first you heard of it?
Kids got shot.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, what? This is awful.
Yeah.
And then they sort of, is one of, they flip sometimes to their cable affiliates somewhere. So, like, it was, you just saw the world in a snapshot, which was like great weather in San Diego, and the stocks are up a little bit, and a bunch of kids got fucking shot.
Oh, Jesus.
And then.
Terrible segue, by the way.
Right. But then this is the worst segue, which is the you know, one of the hosts of the show, right before they go to commercial, goes, speaking of big babies. Mike McDonald, steward of Mad TV, will be on right after the school shooting.
Oh, like, my God.
What the fuck?
Wait, like the people in Colorado being shot are big babies?
Like, the real quote was something like, and the youngest victim is 6 months old. Speaking of big babies, like, there's something crazy going on. It was so fucking horrible. And so then
she's got to be fired.
No, then they go to commercials, and I'm in the green room. I'm standing up. There's a sliding glass door.
They're like, Mr. McDonald, are you ready?
Yeah, whenever you know there's a sliding glass door in an indoor area, you're either a prisoner.
Am I at a park?
Yeah, something.
An indoor.
Like, we're ready for you. I'm like, wait, we got to talk. I can't. Is there a shooting going on? Like, yeah, it's awful. The reason why we're talking about it is because the parents of the kid who did the shooting are from San Diego.
Oh, sweet, like,
what?
Jesus.
What's that?
Oh, you mean you guys are tied even closer to this tragedy?
Yeah, it's hometown killer interview with parents in 5 minutes. But before that,
we're gonna tickle your funny bone with Mike McDonald.
And I was like, I can't. There's no way you can do this.
That's all. You must have felt like for a second, you're like, I'm on a hidden camera show. Yeah, are you guys fucking with me?
Well, I even said, like, did you see when she did the speaking of big babies transition from the dead, or not dead, but wounded? Luckily, that kid survived.
Yeah,
they talk about. But I was like, because I became obsessed with it afterwards. Obviously.
Of course.
So then, listen, there's a commercial. Then we're doing an interview, and then believe me, it'll be fine. It'll be really, you know what? And now people need to laugh more than ever, right? I'm like, all right,
holy shit.
They're ushering me onto this faux.
You're responsible for San Diego's feelings on this tragedy.
Like, non-living room set, and the interview is happening. I'm supposed to pretend like it's not happening 9 feet from me, but there's a separate desk interview happening.
Yeah,
right.
And there's cameras on them, and I know that I'm up next, and they have me on deck. But what the interview was the local lady, the news anchor.
Barb Stinson.
Yeah, and she's interviewing the chief of police, and they're supposed to talk about sequestration and budget cuts. And she's like, so I heard your office has taken a 10% across-the-board cut. And I'm sorry to bring this up into such local news, but recently there was a shooting in Colorado where there were children shot. And what do you have a reaction to that? And he was like, I don't know. I got, you know, this is a police been in charge of talking about safety. So what is
right?
Well, with the budget cuts,
he's not prepped for this.
With budget cuts, you never know what you're gonna encounter. So she goes, "Are you saying that we should be careful, or are we in danger here?" He goes, "All I can say is everybody's just got to be careful." And she literally does a follow up. She's like, "Well, what can the public do to protect themselves? Should we, like, not gather in public settings?" And I'm I gotta fucking talk about a theater right after yeah. this. This is crazy.
By the way, I'm in a public setting,
and I'm advocating gathering people in a dark area to watch me tell my fucking dick jokes. I'm out. Thank you so much, San Diego. Oh wow, God. What do I do?
Dude, that and is the fucking worst ever. That is, oh my God, dude.
Holy shit.
Like that, I feel like that's like, no, like there's nobody in the entire news station watching this go down to well, maybe go, hey, Mike, come here for a second.
It's
dude, we're gonna get you at the end of the show, man. Or we're gonna like, yeah, can we plug the show at the end and just
no.
we're gonna bring on a lady that has pugs that do backflips and then and then bring you
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
But doesn't it feel better? You guys know your comedians isn't the worst. I mean, it's comedically kind of the most awesome, but
of course
the worst public relations you can get.
Well, that's one of the greatest
yeah.
stories
doing
I've
local
ever heard.
Press.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Whether it's radio or the you know local TV show or whatever you're doing,
a very small percentage of them are actually like kind of really cool people that you're like, oh yeah, we're just shooting the shit and we got mics in front of us. Wow.
Actually, local news, they're kind of the reason why I like to go is whatever the audience sees at home, you know, is it's so not worth it. But
right.
the show after is fantastic. There'll be that fucking bloated, boozy faced dude who's 50, and he'll be like, listen. You know, they're gonna make me ask you about. I don't give a shit. How are you guys? What's it like being in Hollywood? Fuck, I'm married, 50. I don't even know if it's gonna work. But like, they're
just
all,
like revealing all your
they're
problems.
They're all these
too.
desperate, fascinating people.
I mean, because when they were going to school for journalism or communications or whatever, they didn't say like, I'm gonna be the Wake Up Des Moines anchor.
No, but
like, they
but
didn't
they were
think
like,
that.
You know what? I'm something special.
Yeah.
I'm going to get on TV. And they did, and
sure.
rightly so. And maybe they could have been the next Brad Pitt or whoever, but
yeah.
they, for whatever reason, they are where they are.
Sure.
And they, oh man, the,
yeah.
that's the best.
They really are the, because, the, and they do the same thing. When I was in Montana, I had to do one, a really small one, and the guy goes, his transition though.
As opposed to the big ones in Montana?
Yeah.
Go on.
This wasn't Billings.
No, it was Mount St. Helena.
Good pull, sir. Good pull.
Nice.
But this guy goes, he goes, and it's going to be 52 of a low and 72 on Saturday. So if you're going to hit that Tulip Festival, maybe the Banjo Center, which is opening up, I think, from 2 to 6 on Saturday. And it will be warm outside, as we mentioned. And speaking of the heat, comedian Adam Ray is here.
That's really fun to watch the
well
thought
done.
Transition happen.
Dude,
well
and I'm sitting there already, you know, in place, and the camera's on a one shot of him, and then it pans out, and I'm literally staring at him. And it was, by the way, like 6 a.m. Like, it was earlier than you should be up for a TV thing.
Even when you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they literally, and right before me, they had done 3 in a row death stories. Not anything of the magnitude of the theater shooting, but it was like, a helicopter crashed in the ditch. 2 kids ate some poisonous ice cream who were lactose intolerant, and a fat kid got his arm stuck in a fucking vending machine and then raped. And literally,
allegedly, I have to say for the news.
And so then he says those and then does the weather thing and then into me, and I literally stare at him after he says, "Speaking of the heat," and I look at him and I go, "Did you really just say that, man?" And at that point, I was so tired that I didn't even. It was almost out of body. And then I go, "Hey, real quick question. Do you guys have any more death stories you can squeeze in before 7 a.m.? I go, I think you might. 4 is the record at a small station in Maine.
Oh,
and he goes,
God.
And he looks at me and goes, oh, I don't think we want to talk more about that. Because he was just like.
Because you know why? That's when you
he
realize
wasn't prepared for
a huge portion of them are literalists.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So like,
and robots.
Like, no, when you said that you would commit suicide if you heard about that, I'm hoping we're all, you're safe.
Yeah.
Like they're not.
Yeah.
I had one. This is my morning show horror story. And it's man, listen to yours. I'm feeling very good about myself. But it was in, I think, Richmond, Virginia. And it was just like, you know, wake up, Richmond, whatever that show that we're talking about.
It's called The Capital.
Okay. Oh, sorry. And right before me, right before me was the cooking segment, because these shows always have a cooking segment.
What were they cooking,
wait,
by the
doesn't,
way?
The cooking segments, aren't they always a little bit where you feel like, I'm pretty sure there's tomaine or trichinosis. I think the protein's been left out for a very long time while they wait for that setup.
Exactly. And then they're looking at whatever it is as the most amazing thing ever. Like, and then you put the tilapia straight on the grill.
So you put the fish on the heat.
Wow. Speaking of the heat, Adam Ray's going to be here next week.
Now, do you always put potatoes in a bowl first, or do you just let them sit on the counter?
Well, it's kind of a not an issue one way or the other.
Fair enough.
Is the mayonnaise
dipped in the ketchup, or do you put that in a separate dish?
Well, that's why it's Thousand Island. But to get to the interesting...
That's a fancy sauce, isn't it?
Well, it's bottled by a lot of big companies.
Sure.
But bottles.
I usually drink the Bud Light Lime out of the bottle, not out of a can. My husband Ron started drinking them from the can.
Oh, that's the person you talked about before. So I thought that
That's the man that gets to finger me while I sleep.
Gets to.
Keyword being gets to.
Gets
dude,
to.
Those cooking
but is that how many times have you been laying on your back with your knees up in the air and your butthole exposed and someone's hand inside of you?
I feel like you're reading my mind.
And you've looked up past your hairy tits and said, "You gets to do that." Fuck you, Adam.
Done. Oh, Adam Ray. They do this cooking segment, and then I'm up next. And the guy just looks right at me and goes, when the cooking segment ends, and he's very gay, extremely gay. And he just looks at me and goes, "So, what do you like to eat?"
And you said?
I just looked at him and went, "Really? Like, so you have all this to work with, and your opening question is, so what?" And I started, I like to eat bagel bites and, like, microwavable, like, fun-sized candy bars.
Is that true?
And food in sizes that are viewed as packets or small.
Packets of food?
Like, 2 ketchup packets in the morning, and I'm good. Like, I'm stuffed, man. Like,
I want to – that might be my nickname for you. It might be packet.
Hashtag packet.
Packet.
Dude, if Brad...
You know what? You're packet.
I'm packet.
Yo, that sounds like one of the like main characters in like Land Before Time 17. Packet. Packet. The Triceratops.
Packet.
You know, it was Petrie and Littlefoot.
I feel like because in the movie Willow, we were called Pex. So
packet could be.
Yeah, so that's like, shut up, you packet.
Packet.
that's like little, the new.
You're my little. You're the kind of thing that old ladies take home in their purse.
God, I hope so.
Oh my God.
Good Lord, I would love
that's
that.
That's a great compliment.
I'll go cougar hunting.
Merry Christmas.
Now, speaking of cougar hunting, Mike, you directed Cougar Town in 1999. So tell me, was Courtney Cox as nice in real life as she looked on TV? Can she look really nice?
Perfect segue. Really Mike,
pack it.
Can I call you Mike?
Can I call you Pack?
You can call me Pack.
I'm gonna let Mike call you Pack from now on.
You can call me Pack. You can call me Packet. Whatever. You can pack it later if you get me drunk enough.
Sure.
Whoa. Well, I mean, you wouldn't have the physical ability to resist. let's face it.
You just frightened me.
Let me ask you this: Are dwarves any sort of fetish for gay men? Like. In any
damn right they are
gay men or gay women. I think everybody all it's like, you know, hey, does racism happen everywhere? It does.
Yeah.
Everything happens everywhere.
Sure. Yeah.
Everyone's thoughts are.
It's a great slogan for life. Everything happens really everywhere.
Oh, there you go. Pack it happens. Yeah.
Somebody was trying to tell me, a buddy of mine who, this is kind of a weird segue, but you said everything happens everywhere.
Not like you've had any good ones.
But he goes, everything happens everywhere.
I hope that when you broadcast this podcast, that the 7 of your listeners hear you put entire soundtrack marks, like a car rounding a curve anytime you guys do a really abrupt segue.
Speaking of segues, I was at Runyon Canyon the other
day. Nice. That's good.
I don't know.
And speaking of canyons, I bet it was hot outside, usually when you hike up that hill. And speaking of the heat, Michael McDonald is here.
Hi.
Did you enjoy doing that movie?
I did.
Yeah. It was really fun, and I tried to bring this up earlier, but when we had those, when we went to Fenway, we had like, because I didn't really know, I hadn't done a movie before, so I didn't know the shooting schedule. There was times where after we shot that first day, then all of a sudden we had 5 days off.
Right.
And so, and then it was like, well, we can stay here, but then you had the option to go back, but it was
or
like,
we could, you know, like picket the producer or whatever, like do a Actors Guild strike saying we're not being paid enough.
Yeah, yeah. Thought about doing that.
To not work.
Yeah, yeah. But Mike and I went out a handful of nights to, because we were staying near Little Italy, so we had like a lot of great restaurants and a lot of great bars. And we went to Fenway, we went drinking a lot, and it was awesome.
And by the way, that was the highlight of your career. You're 38 years old, and it's over.
It is over.
It is so depressing knowing that he's peaked. I'm trying to ride his coattails, and he's just and he's just going to do one movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, talk about hanging on to the tail of the slowest pig.
So I'm Packet, Adam's slowest pig, which is kind of ironic considering he's a Jew. But
But let me ask you something though. Like, so is it because of people? Like, I mean, you worked with Melissa, but you hadn't met Sandy before. But like being around,
why is your voice suddenly becoming like you're holding in a joint? Like you're acting smuggling. Like you're inhaling. Pot.
Oh, really?
Or my voice just gets trying to seduce the audience a little bit. I think.
No, I mean my voice just gets deeper sometimes.
Listen,
let me ask you.
Adam can't help the fact that he has an extremely sexy voice.
Yo, the biggest.
Completely. Are you kidding? I completely agree. I think it's probably the only sexy thing about him. But
hey,
have you seen his chest hair?
Let me tell you something.
I haven't, but I said you should be shirtless, and you've been really weird about it.
Been a little reluctant. You've been really weird about it.
Basically, if you get high and stare at his chest hair, it looks like Dana Carvey.
I heard it starts to grow into your face and pull you in.
Like Jack the Beanstalk?
And it possesses you.
So it's like the Little Shop of Horrors. Feed me, Seymour.
And it's just
just by the way, to
great reference.
Bring your audience
welcome.
Into...
Rick Moranis.
I'm going to bring the audience into my point of view, which was while you said that.
Yeah.
Pack.
Now he's
feed me, Seymour. And you reached out.
Yes,
with
my
arms fully extended.
Right.
And they didn't reach past your nose.
Listen,
and you were doing the voice of a plant going crazy. And we're in this apartment, which is basically it's like a little humidor pot.
It's a studio.
Yeah. I
humidor
suddenly
pot.
Thought, wow, I wish people knew what I was actually seeing. And I'm seeing a dwarf who's high.
True.
Doing an impression of a musical.
True.
With his little distended hands.
Yes.
And I needed to share that.
Well, I hope you took a good mental snapshot.
Basically, if your bucket list was to see a midget's T-Rex arms.
You're not a midget. You are you're a little starfish. With one point that is swollen.
That'll be my ass, sir.
That's your ass.
He works it, dude. It did come in. What? It did. No, we went to Mexico and he entered a limbo competition and lost.
Why'd you go to Mexico?
Because we were having a bromance.
Wait, I just want, I'm prosecuting it. Why'd you go to Mexico? Well, why'd you go?
Well, we had to have a bromance, you know. So we went out there, had a little, you know, 3 or 4 day mandate.
Where'd you go?
Cabo.
I'm going to Cabo in January.
Mike,
oh, yeah?
Are you really?
Yeah.
You're gonna fucking love it. You're not gonna want to stay at the resort as long as possible. I'm sure you're staying in a dope place.
At a what?
Dope place.
Dope. Oh, I thought you said Adele. I didn't know what you're saying. Like,
what well, I'm sure you're staying with Adele. She's probably writing her next song about you.
Yeah.
Where are you staying? Do you know? So the listeners can come fucking.
Well, I also want people to know where. Let me give my address so they know when I'm not going to be at my house. Also, my PIN number because obviously. I'm not going to be near my ATM.
Wait, have you been to Cabo before?
Yes.
Do you enjoy it?
We enjoyed it, but it. No, yeah, we did.
Wait, what? There was a hesitation.
I didn't love the hotel.
Okay,
but here's why. It was. We wanted to get away.
It was 110 degrees. Speaking of the heat, Michael McDonald will be in Paso Robles, California, Tuesday through Thursday at the Chi Chi Ha Ha Bone, 7:30 and 9:30.
Yeah.
Wait, so why didn't you like it?
I realized it was the hotel. It was an okay hotel.
The hotel has a lot to do with it.
It really does.
Because our pool was incredible.
When you're in Mexico, And it's, I mean, it's not like, oh, well, aside, you know, if the hotel doesn't work out, they have an amazing library system. Have you ever
renting books has never been easier from the from the Libertoria or whatever the fuck. What is it?
The Biblioteca. Biblioteca.
What did I just say?
You said Libertoria, which sounds like where that's where they have women's labias on display. I hope this is as funny as we all think it is, and not just the liquor talking.
No, it's not going to translate at all.
Fairly certain it's
our
not.
Six listeners in Belgium will love this.
Fairly certain it's not.
We tried,
no,
though.
No, it is.
We made a great effort.
Effort!
Yes! Step one. Mike McDonald, you are a triple threat. You are a...
Do you hear triple or dribble?
Dude, that was a combination of James Lipton and the shitty news anchor. Michael McDonald, you are a triple threat.
You're a horrible dwarf.
I'm a horrible dwarf. I'm gonna get.
And
I'm gonna
it's
get my.
Hard because most of you are noble, but you're horrible dwarf.
Sorry, I left my battle axe at home.
Yo, horrible dwarf is the name of a great band / movie about Dinklage, like going, like turning to the goth side.
But one thing is, little people overheat. And speaking of the heat, we have Adam Ray, who played one of the bad guys in The Heat.
I feel so lucky to have two actors from such a blockbuster.
You're welcome.
I feel so honored.
Michael McDonald, you are a triple threat. I want that as my fucking email alert, dude. I want that as my email alert.
I'm a threat in zero.
I'm trying.
The last thing I am is a threat.
I'm trying to keep this podcast respectable.
You are a triple threat.
No, but in a
Mike, but you are though.
Really?
No, but you are, man.
Because
Mike, no. Hey, in all seriousness, hold on a second, man.
I'm scared that we're going to be monitored by the government.
It's taking you long enough to bring up that concern. Mike, you are a triple threat.
Mike McDonald,
triple
threat.
I can't wait to watch you two pretend to not be predator and prey.
I've had a glass of scotch. I'm fucked up, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Two beer Brad. Thank you.
Two beer Brad. You know what two beer Brad gives you?
Sure. But rug burn on the base of my dick as I spin it.
I'm scared. I'm scared for my safety now.
You shouldn't be. And it's not actionable on a legal basis because you were born that way.
So take your legalities up with God.
Take a little time machine back 100 years to common sense and say, well... You are tiny. This is life.
I think you just basically recited the closing to the pilot episode of Groped by Lipton.
I think
it's
so.
Lipton looking
Which
at her in
needs
a mirror
a
going,
question mark at the end of it.
It's Lipton, a hit.
It's Lipton standing behind the girl in her bathroom mirror going, "You are who you are and this is life. Now take off your sweatshirt."
Yeah. Yeah. Let's make that. Let's make it, whatever that means.
I believe we should, and I think we should write the script after we sign off and after we've killed the rest of this bottle of scotch, which we're doing very well at.
You just really have become foreign.
What kind of foreign accent? What kind of foreign accent do you think I was speaking with right there?
Well, that's an interesting one you chose.
This is one of the only three that I can do. I can do this one. I can do Russian as well.
Oh, is that right? I thought the first one was Russian.
No, the first one is from New Jersey. Then you know this one is more like Germany, right?
That's Persian.
always Persian.
That's good.
Yeah. Hey, I did watch your YouTube video right before you got here.
The one in your research. Like, listen, I did a good 4 minutes of research.
I did.
And by the way, that's kind of all you need to know. I think you can kind of Wait a minute. If you think about it, like. More than ever, obviously, you can meet somebody, date somebody, or not even have met them.
Yeah.
But you can find out 4 minutes of their life. That's because it's crazy. Recorded in some way.
Sure. Yes.
It's a different way of living than
people have
we
put,
used to live.
It is.
Or even from your own birth, in your own generation.
Yeah. People
how has the world changed? It has changed more in the last 2.5 years.
Yeah, I don't think we totally realize it. I think people are moving along. Yeah, it's mind blowing. Yeah. Robots will be here in 25 years, and guess what? I'm not fucking ready for it.
I feel like you're I feel like your act is.
Absolutely.
I'm not worried about my act. I'm worried about being probed by robots. Have you seen iRobot?
You're not worried about being probed. The way you pop your ass. When you're
have you seen
getting things from a shelf is like, I swear to God, I feel like I'm watching a Cheryl Teagues commercial from the 70s.
Anyone over the age of 35 just got a boner.
And now it's over. You know, like you're older.
Where can our listeners find you, Michael McDonald?
MichaelMcDonald.biz.
And McDonald's.
Because it's business.
It is.
Michael McDonald. Wait, what? Right. I want to talk to Michael McDonald. Michael What's it about? Business. MichaelMcDonald.biz.
I didn't even know .biz was a possibility.
It is.
Wow.
I tried to think very professionally.
What if it was because you were an heir to the BizQuick fortune?
That would be Biz. B-I-S. BizQuick.
Yeah, he's just Biz.
The fact that you correct me without hesitation is why I enjoy your presence as a human being.
I mean it so much.
And also,
you're a triple threat.
He is. And also, you can go to Amazon.com and get Michael McDonald's comedy special,
Ooh,
Model
yeah.
Citizen.
Oh, yeah.
From Amazon.com.
Mike, yeah. It's a really great special. All right, so we're laughing at the triple threat thing, but you, in all honesty, man, crushing the sketch world like you did, doing it in movies and TV, and to transition to stand-up, and you have to take this compliment, is not fucking easy by any means. And you've done it. Dude, I mean, you're a really great stand-up comedian. And you've done it only a couple years.
What he's saying is you should suck. He expected you to suck. And you've mildly gone over his expectations.
No, but you're great. You are great.
You're
and it's I'm
also
telling,
drunk, and we are having a wonderful time.
No, Mike, no, dude, hey, I do this every night, man. I see so many people, like I was saying, from...
Every night?
Yes, from a sketch and improv.
I do this every night, man. Mike. I sit in my living room, this apartment, in a two-bedroom, one and a half. I mean, I feel like I'm being generous, one and a half
There's
bedroom.
Two sinks, one toilet.
One and a half bedroom.
Two toilets.
Like generic wooden dining room table.
A Hungarian movie star bought this.
Who? Which one? There are so many. I get it. Take a minute. Because there are thousands.
You know who it is?
They're Hungarian.
I'm going to give you three options, and you pick which one it is. All right?
All right. But I like it when you get near, go on.
Gelvik Heinzik.
Go on. Yeah.
Shermaine Gasto.
Yeah.
And Kelly.
Well, this one isn't it.
Just Kelly.
Oh, just Kelly.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go on a limb and I'm gonna eliminate Kelly. Or just Kelly. I'm gonna take that away. I know. Look, we all take risks in life, but I'm gonna put that one aside because I gotta make a choice, and that didn't seem obvious, but I'm gonna do that.
Oh my God, he's Michael McDonald has given me the vapors. Let me tell you,
you the vapors. Become black. What is that?
I was going for Southern Belle. are my presents that bad?
There's no such thing. What are you talking about? Anyone can be Southern.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear your Southern accent.
No. No, I will not. Fuck y'all. It's so sad.
Fuck y'all. It's the best.
Fuck y'all.
I think we should cut off this podcast so his last words are fuck y'all.
I just had the the vision of seeing you out, like auditioning for something where they go, Michael, can we see your Southern character? And you go, fuck yeah.
Brilliant! You are cast, Michael McDonald!
Wait, I will say this. I went to an audition recently, and I sort of, it was, there were cameras. It was much more than you thought. When you audition normally, it's a room, and there's maybe a camera on a tripod, but there's it feels very much like an office that's just annoying. That's
right.
Kind of how
it's right. Yeah.
And I walked in this one, and there were lights and cameras.
Jesus.
And like it was set up like you were shooting practically a movie. And it wasn't like I knew I'd been in there five times and I knew what it was. This was the first thing. And it was for a fucking TV show, which who cares? And I knew all the other actors that were going in, and it was a really fun group, and we're all – nobody was saying anything in or out.
Yeah.
I go in, and I'm like, holy shit, there's cameras everywhere. There's somebody in a chair reading with you, and you're being filmed, and there was a couple of props, like, for you to deal with, and it was almost like a stage, like – wow, this is much more than a typical audition.
Yeah.
So I sit down and I go, wow, you've got some fancy digs here. And they were being really nice to me. And they were like, oh, well, you know, anything you want to do to make it more casual, just say the word. And I said, well, why don't I take a shit in the corner? And I felt like I thought that would make people laugh because I felt like I knew. Like, I thought, oh, they heard me say this was very formal, and they responded with, "Don't worry," and I'm now going to add on the improv version.
Sure,
of, like, I will connect to you.
Yes and yeah.
Yes and yes and
you yes and with a shit in the corner.
I mean, I could tell instantly. Like, I made a horrible choice. Like, you. The when did you lose this job, sir? I was like, if they'd be right there, like when I said that,
I'd shit in a corner.
Like, and yeah, and I knew, but the worst thing is you have like a 5-minute scene. You have to now act with somebody maybe it's two or three scenes where one you're in love and another you're trying to
save Renee Zellweger from the ninjas.
Worst. It's the worst.
Why don't I shit in the corner?
It's the worst.
That is right up there with my favorite audition story told in this podcast, along with Harlan Williams with his "I just ran over a dog" joke.
Oh yeah,
that the casting lady took seriously.
casting people are the most serious people you will ever meet.
Yeah,
Harlan
yeah.
Williams told us he was up for like "My Name Is Earl" and went in, and he had this go to where he would say like, "Oh yeah," like they'd be like, "How are you doing, Harlan?" He's like, "Oh good, but I just ran over this dog and it just flipped over the ditch into a sewer and got covered in ice cream and frozen yogurt bits and like all sorts of weird." He would just, you know, make it really silly. And people would always know he was joking, but this one casting director for NBC was like, "You ran over a dog?" Immediately, and he was like,
"Why are you here right now? Go back and like help the dog."
And he committed to him and was like, "No, the dog's fine." And then she's like, "You left the dog after you hit it?" She started bawling. And then the guy was just like, "Oh, sorry, just go ahead and start the scene whenever you're ready," as she's crying and like wiping her tears.
And that was
I believe that. I actually really believe that.
Let's do a clean out. Just so we may cut it right there.
No, it's ended.
It's ended? I'm fine with that.
So that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get through the fucking day. Just follow us on Twitter at Funny Brad, and I'm at Adam Ray Comedy.
This has been the About Last Night podcast. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.